big game for our next guest on the weekend. 0-2 to his coaching career start, but that doesn't understand how competitive his Fremantle Dockers have been in the opening two rounds of the revamp season. Justin Longmuir joins us this morning. JL, thanks for your time.
No worries, Kate.
Be nice to get that first win, but you must be pretty impressed with aspects of your game, firstly against the Bombers and secondly against Brisbane on the weekend away from home.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, like I said to the players on Monday, I feel like it's a good platform to build off. We've got clearly some aspects and a lot of aspects to work on, but I think the foundations of our game were there for a long period of time. Yeah, it would be nice to just have that killer instinct. I mean, we got back into the game on numerous occasions, but then just took the foot off the accelerator and allowed some easy goals at some really important times. And it's probably not even the goals, to be honest. It's probably more the field position that we cough up at times and the pressure that puts on our backs. Yeah, we need to improve a few areas, but like I said, it was a good platform to build off.
You've been in the Gold Coast hub for about a week now. Is it as you expected, and what's the most challenging part of being there?
Yeah, it's probably as I expected, and clearly we're still in the honeymoon period. We're still enjoying each other's company and, trying to get settled into routines and that type of thing at the moment. It's really good that the restrictions have lifted a little bit. Our boys are able to get out surfing now, and that just gives them a release from the hotel. So that's been good. The AFL have tried to make it as seamless as possible. They've given us plenty of cars for the players to access and get to the beach or get to the shops if they need. So although it's not ideal, I feel like our players have adapted really well. And, most importantly, that our mindset for this whole situation has been really positive. So that's been pleasing.
Justin, are you enjoying the company of the West Coast Eagles? And do you guys cross paths much?
Yeah, we do. We see each other regularly, in the foyer in particular. It's no issues for me. I worked there for 7 years, so I've got some close mates in the playing group, but also in the coaching staff. So it's actually been good for me to catch up with them and have a few conversations and a bit of a release from talking to the same people day in, day out. So I'm not sure our players all feel like that. Clearly a rivalry between the two teams. So, it's all been friendly and amicable so far, and I'd expect it to be like that.
So you touched on it, your personal experiences, which is obviously fine, but the players, I mean, is it frosty? Obviously, there is going to be a rivalry there, but is it a little bit frosty, or are there situations? Or we just wondered whether this was going to be a bit of a beat-up and, players could just handle it professionally, but there is genuinely, it's not the ideal situation, it sounds.
Well, I feel like if there's any frostiness, is no better word to put it. I feel like those sort of players would stick to himself and avoid seeing players from another team. I would say 90% of our players have no worries about it at all. And a lot of our players grew up in Perth and went to the same schools as some of the players at West Coast and actually have some friendships off the field because of that reason. So I haven't seen any frostiness. Like I said, it's been really amicable, and I've seen a lot of players having conversations with West Coast players, so I feel like that's all gone really well at the moment.
Mm. How do you structure your days, JL? Do you obviously allow the players some free time, as they usually would get in day-to-day life, but the balance of how much you have access to them as opposed to how much you leave them alone, is that a challenge for you?
Yeah, I think that's the number one challenge, and it's going to be the number one challenge while we're up here. And it's going to get probably more difficult to manage the longer we're up here. Got to be really mindful that the players need a break from footy. Yeah, and I've got to make sure, as a senior coach, I've got to make sure that I don't talk footy with them non-stop as well. So today's their day off. I'll stay out of the foyer. I'll give them a wide berth, give them some time to themselves. Just really trying to make sure that our players are really purposeful when we are training, and then they switch off when we're not training, which is much similar to home. It's just a little bit harder when you're seeing each other 10 times a day and bumping into players regularly.
Justin Longmuir making his debut on Breakfast with myself and Hazy this morning. We appreciate his time joining us from the Gold Coast Hub. Are you too reliant on Fife and Walters? Both of those were unbelievable, but the progression of the next level is going to be what drives your club forward. Are you satisfied with the improvement you're getting from that second group of core players?
Well, yeah, clearly we need to build the next rung underneath those two players, and you know, they're incredibly talented and we want them to keep playing well, but like you said, we can't continue to rely on them. And I thought the start of the game was really impressive on the weekend, especially around clearance. And we were 9-2 up at clearance at one stage, and Fife and Walters weren't having the best start to the game, and it was more Tucker, Brayshaw, Chera, Mundy when he came on. Those are the guys that got us going in there. And probably the second quarter is when Fife started getting going and had an unbelievable last three quarters of the game. And Walters was probably a little bit more consistent across the whole game and finished the game off unbelievably as well. Yeah, we need to continue to build or develop some more A-graders. I think, you know, look at Richmond's team, they've probably got 5 or 6 A-graders. But we've got 2 at the moment. So we need to keep giving these guys opportunity. Yeah, and keep developing them. We think there's a lot of potential on our list, but yeah, we need to see some improvement. And now we're back into consistent week in, week out football. I would expect to see some of those guys really put their hand up and try and take that mantle, I suppose.
I heard your comments that star forward Jesse Hogan's put his hand up. He came to you and said, "I'm ready to go." Does he play this week?
Yeah, he's going to be really close. It was a really tough decision last week, and it just came back to making sure he's, you know, AFL ready, not just for 1 week, but for 15 or 16 weeks. So I was really impressed with the way he handled himself last week. He was clearly disappointed when I told him that he wasn't playing. But he, you know, didn't drop his bundle. He trained really well. And the most impressive thing is when he went back and played against the Brisbane Reserves, he not only performed really well, but actually showed some real strong leadership skills with some of the younger players down there. And it was a really young group, and he could have easily got really frustrated with the way the game was unfolding back there, but he was really positive and stuck to his task really well. So, yeah, he'll come under strong consideration. Clearly, we've lost our ruckman on the weekend, and you know, Lobby's going to have to do a fair bit more ruck work. So there's a spot for a tall forward, and, yeah, it makes a lot of sense at this stage that he comes in.
Yeah, I think Port Adelaide will be hoping you don't pick him, but it sounds as though he's ready to go. It's shaping up to be one of the great stories, Jesse Hogan, this year. It wasn't that long ago where I think it was Kim Hagdorn, veteran journalist in Perth, said that he'll never play again with the issues that he's got. Did you read too much into those comments, and how perilous did it get with his future, Jesse Hogan?
Well, no, definitely didn't read anything into those comments. But, yeah, it was, you know, it was a situation where he needed to go away and get himself right. You know, we supported him through that as a football club, but unless he was willing to put in the work to get himself right, it wasn't going to work. And, you know, he spent, with the shutdown in total, probably about 3 months away from the football club. And when he came back, it's just noticeable from day one that he'd put in the work, not only physically, but he just seems a lot clearer mentally and a lot more connected to the group and, yeah, a lot more committed. And, you know, our leaders have been judging him on his actions, and he hasn't put a foot wrong so far. So that's a real credit to himself.
Justin, the other one is Cam McCarthy, who had an episode of training. We've learnt that he's been diagnosed with epilepsy. How's he going, I suppose, in a mental space and physically? Is he close to returning to play?
Well, he's a little way off physically. He's missed a bit of training, so we'll just have to ramp him back up and try and get him some match practice. But, yeah, it was obviously a scary situation when a player collapses at training, really not doing anything. So it was good for his own mindset that he got some clarity around what caused it. He's obviously gone on medication now. And yeah, hopefully we can, you know, manage it from here on in, and we don't have another episode. And he can continue on what was, you know, a really strong pre-season and a really strong off-season shutdown for him. So, yeah, he'll be a couple of weeks away from putting his hand up for AFL selection, but it's going to be, yeah, it's a pleasing that he's on the right track now, and he's definitely going to, you know, keep building his training and match him up. So, yeah, it's hopefully onwards and upwards for Cam.
Did you get a look at the showdown here, and what do you make of Port Adelaide?
Yeah, had a bit of a look last night. Yeah, clearly in really good form, and I just really impressed with the way they approached the contest. I think that fuels a lot of their offense, fuels a lot of their defense, how strong and competitive they are in the contest. And clearly on the outside, they've got some young talent that are just playing with that freedom and playing to their strengths. So, yeah, it's going to be a great challenge for us this week.
It was amazing to see that the players come together and take a knee prior to the game across all of the competition. Now, one of your Fremantle fans wasn't happy with it, but the club was quick to jump on it. They posted on social media that they would refund the membership. Since then, a bloke called Todd Davey, I'm not sure if you're across this, JL, but he's an Essendon fan, and he's fronted up with the $1,800 that the club refunded the old Fremantle fan. You got a new fan. How proud of you with the way your club handled that?
Yeah, it was... Yeah, fully supportive, really proud of the way they went about it. We've got a really proud history of Indigenous players and staff working at our football club. I think we've only had one game in our history where we haven't had an Indigenous player. We obviously hold the record for the most Indigenous players in one game in our team. So, some of our best players of all time are Indigenous players, and some of my best mates that I've played with are Indigenous players. So it was disappointing to see. From one of our members, I was really proud with the way the club handled it, and I was really proud with the way the community handled it. And for that Essendon supporter to pick up the tab was fantastic. We've obviously probably softened the blow because they beat us in round one. Probably felt a bit sorry for us in some sense, but it was a great gesture and one that we're extremely grateful for.
Well, mate, thanks for the chat this morning. Very honest, and look forward to a cracking game. Sunday night, Fremantle taking Port Adelaide on from Metricon Stadium. Good luck. Maybe not this week, but good luck for the rest of the year, JL, and thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Kane. Thanks, Hazy.